kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I've got a title here for us to think upon, and the teaching today is Grounded and Rooted in Faith. Grounded and Rooted in Faith. And we're going to look at this from a familiar verse and chapter. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians, the book of Colossians. And we're going to look at chapter 2 of Colossians. And we're going to concentrate on verses 6 and 7 of Colossians chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7, which says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, those two verses are tremendous encouragement here that the apostle's writing to the church. Because as he says here, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk, does it say, in your own self, in your own strength, your own ability? No, it doesn't. It says walk in him. Everything is done in him. If it's not in him, then stop. Don't do any more. Everything for our faith to be grounded and rooted, it must be in him, because he is the goal of our faith. Do you remember last week I revealed to you that he's the author and finisher of our faith, and we looked into that word, what author means. It's not only a captain, but he is one who has perfected faith in the heavens. Faith under the old covenant was perfected through the flesh, that is, through faithful Abraham, which is a type of what was to come. But our faith now that we have received through the new birth is that faith that has been perfected through Jesus Christ, who endured, who faced the cross. He endured the cross, and through the death and resurrection, he has now perfected our faith that we believe by, that is a gift given to us, that is done now in and through him. When you next battle doubt, and we all do, remember this, my faith is not in me alone. My faith is in him.
Amen.
Who has achieved that for me, and therefore he has given me the ability to believe. It didn't start with me, it started with him. And he has saved me by his grace and mercy. This is really going to help us. Trust me, because I've had to put this one really into operation. So, you know, many times these words that I and teachings that I preach, I too go through it. So, you know, we're all in this together. Now, looking at the title, which it says here, Grounded and Rooted in Faith, have you ever thought that the survival of a tree, it's dependent on its roots? And we can't see those roots. What we see is the results of those roots and what those roots are doing. And we see the finished product, don't we? Something beautiful, something good to look at. And trees, of course, aren't good for the environment. God has put them there. But trees are exposed also to the elements. So that which we look at is beautiful, yes, is needful, but it is also exposed to the elements. And it has to stand those elements. It has to stand all different temperatures, particularly trees in the West. And so it needs that root formation. That tree has to go through four seasons. The same with a house. Our houses that we live in, they are very dependent on its foundations. And so we glean these ideas with regard also to our faith. Faith must have its roots. And if we are to endure and stand, which we are to do, then where is it to be rooted in and upon? In Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. We stand upon that rock now. We cannot stand on anything else. And so he says that we are rooted and built up in him. Not only that, but we are established in the faith. In other words, we are predestined. We have been chosen and called to walk this way. This is why I keep saying God doesn't make a mistake. It may look strange. You may feel as though you haven't got an ounce of faith, you know, but thank God they're only feelings and emotions, and we know that they pass. How quick has your unbelief, when you feel it's just flooding you and you feel you're going under, but how quick does that pass? It passes quicker than you think, doesn't it? And that's the irony of it all. But how the enemy wants to trap us and hold us in those thought realms. And we're eventually getting it, aren't we? Because this lies in him. It doesn't lie in me. And all he has asked me is to believe. And he says, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And he goes on to say why he's stressing this, because he says, lest anyone cheats you or deceives you. So he's aware, the apostle's very aware, that our faith is also under attack doctrinally, trying to deceive us. From where we draw our faith, because we're told, aren't we, that faith comes by hearing, reading this word. And he wants to try and twist and pervert that, what we're hearing and reading. And if he tries to do that and succeeds, there's no way you can release that faith that is the faith of Christ, because Christ isn't going to bless that. He's trying to get your attention. That's deception, what you're hearing. So, you know, that's also our responsibility. This is why I always say our responsibility is to stay with what God has given us. Because he's not made a mistake. He never does. And I know at times it can be difficult. There are times when we want to go elsewhere or listen to something else or whatever it is. And we're not bound, of course, completely to FGA, but what I'm trying to say is God doesn't make a mistake. He knows where he wants us rooted and grounded in the faith. And I'm not going to put my ears to anything where it's not going to encourage me to be grounded and rooted in the faith. And there are some things after 10 minutes you listen to it, you think, hang on, I'm being poisoned.
Yeah,
I'm being poisoned. I can't listen to this any longer. And it may sound very presentable, you know, but there's something within you says, this is poisoning me. And thank God for that. That's our discernment. That's because you are being weaned on the word of God, you see.
Praise the Lord.
And this is what, of course, the apostle is trying to encourage the Christians here, because, you know, that apostle was very aware he hadn't much longer in this life, and he was aware another generation's coming on and they're not going to be so devout. He could see the signs of deception and heresy coming. I don't know what he would ever do if he come back now. Some of these early saints, I just don't know. I don't know what they would think. But there we are. It's the grace and mercy of God, is it not? So, with that introduction, we're going to look at some areas then, being grounded and rooted in the faith. And the first area I want us to consider, and that is that you are to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Now, of course, we know that, and we do talk about that, but you do have to work out your own faith and salvation in fear and trembling. We are living in a generation now where people want to pass the buck. They don't want to take responsibility. This is a generation now where we are seeing this. Strangely, I was invited to, it was a student of mine, and she invited me to supper and was inviting some neighbours of hers who I know very well and are very nice people. And they have a daughter who is quite high up in psychiatry. And she's been in a job locally, I know where it is, and she's been in that job for 6 years. And the mother and father were telling me that she can't stay in it any longer. So I said, well, why? Well, they said one of the reasons why, because she feels powerless in her profession, because so many of them now that are in psychiatry are playing the victim. They are blaming everything else except looking to themselves why they are in this state. Because nobody has forced you. You have a will. And I'm listening to this. Yeah. And these aren't believers. They're not Christians. I mean, I went away and I interceded and supplicated for their souls, that God would have mercy, that we will remember them on that day of judgment. But I'm listening to this. She can no longer, because she feels she cannot do her job as she should as a psychiatrist, because she's not getting the backing. They all fall for these lies that they are clever with and come out with. Now, of course, there are some who are damaged. We can't, you know, you cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. But she said a majority of them, they don't want to change. They don't want to get their lives back because it's easier for them. They don't have to take responsibility. They don't have to train and get a job or whatever it is. And she said she's had enough of it. She can't do her job as she should do, as she was trained to do. And I thought, listen to this. This is the problem that we face today in society. And government allow it. But of course, we know what's behind all of that. Because, of course, that's the powers of darkness wanting to control, where they are telling you that you are not going to own anything, you will not have everything, you will be supported, you will be sustained, and you will all be very happy. That's the philosophy. That's the new world, the new age thinking. Well, of course, we know what's behind that. That's control. God didn't create man and woman for that. He placed them in the garden to till it, to work, to be active, to use these hands, to use their mind, their brains, you see? But of course, we know what's working there. And so we are called to also work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Now, the law provides everything, but we know that the principle is that we meet God halfway. You have to receive that which he's offering. Have you noticed God doesn't force it into your hands? He doesn't do that. Salvation is even a gift. And like all gifts, as I've said, you can offer them back and say, no, thank you, I don't want it. And there's the free will. So we have to remember that if we're grounded and rooted in faith. You see, if you are totally dependent on FGA alone, you have missed it. Because this church can't get you into the kingdom of God. This church points you to the kingdom of God. This church, like other assemblies, has the doorway into the kingdom of God, but only you can go through that. And Jesus always walked by that principle. That's why he never went running after them. And he was the doorway. He is the doorway into the kingdom. And those who saw him, embraced him and received him and followed him, entered into him. And through that door, you see. But he never forced those who didn't want to go. And he left them to their fate, to the mercy of God. And that's how we do it. We wish to God that all would be saved. That's always should be the heart and desire and motive. But we know also that not all will respond. Not even this church can save anyone. It simply points the way. But we know that coming to the meetings and prayer meetings and everything is all part of our having entered into the doorway. So we know the signs if we've entered through, do we not? They're clearly seen and are there. But nobody forces anyone. I've had pressures at times in the past. Pastor, aren't you going to do something about this? I said, what do you want me to do? Well, you've got to go. You've got to influence them. You've got to stop them. You know, tell them that what they're doing is wrong and so forth. And there is a place to do that. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, God has shown me he doesn't want robots. He wants people who willingly, who want to follow the Lord, who want to come to the assembly, who want to come to the meetings. And there is the difference. You see, shepherdship is a subtle way of bringing God's people into bondage. And they have a very subtle way that if you don't bear your responsibility, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of God. It's all very subtle how it works. But the Lord never worked under those principles. And God has clearly, clearly shown me never, ever to do that in an office ministry. It is those who willingly choose to follow. And of course, you see, when you walk like that and you minister like that, you aren't going to have a huge following. Because they want to fill those seats. They want to fill those auditoriums. They want money for their ministry and their outreach. They want money to keep the ministers in work and so forth. And that's not what the house of God is for. They're making merchandise of the house of God. We are so privileged, brothers and sisters, you know, that we've seen this, that God's opened our eyes to this. This is why I rejoice that I see a remnant who have entered through that narrow gate, that doorway, you see, and they have seen it. You see, if you go in any other means, in any other way, you're not going to get that complete and rounded fellowship that we have with God and each other. And that is the difference, you see. So that is the first area to consider in being grounded and rooted in the faith. And let's look at some scriptures now in John 14. The Gospel of John. John 14 and verses 15 to 18. 14, verses 15 to 18. You know this well. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Isn't that such words of comfort? Absolute words of comfort. You know, it's all of God, isn't it? He says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Here we are, this power of the Holy Spirit. He's the helper. He's the one that leads and guides us. He's the one that gave us that gift of faith in which to believe. And he's the Spirit of truth. And what is the Spirit of truth? It's the Word of God that we hold in our hands. And we know him now. The world doesn't know him, but we know him. And there is the difference, you see. And it's very difficult, isn't it, at times when you're in the world and you are aware that they don't know him. They think they know him, but they don't know him. Because you can't respond to that, what you're hearing. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. Why? Because you're grounded and rooted in faith. So there we are. There is the root of faith, and the root of faith is in him. Always go back to him when battling doubt, fear, unbelief, whatever it is. Go back to him. He is the goal. He is the source. He is the author of your faith. He has perfected that faith that is in you. It is a holy faith. Well, that's the first thing to consider. The second thing, if you have fellowship with the Father, you have fellowship with the brethren. And again, I'm a stickler for that. You see, if you walk by faith and you're truly saved and you're filled with the Spirit of God, there is something within you that respects and honours Christ's body. You don't abuse or misuse it. There is a respect, a reverence for it. And sadly, this lacks so much in Christendom. Let's turn, if we will, to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 to 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostle and prophet Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So the first three verses reveals what the body of Christ is. And the fourth verse shows that it's in progress. So remember that as we look at this. He said there, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. In other words, you're not scattered. You're not roaming around. You're not looking for where to go. The Holy Spirit has revealed, he has shown you. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So we're members of those who have gone before, the host of witnesses that Hebrews says. We're all together with them, having been built on the foundation of the apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he is the one that's worked through the apostle and prophets. Now that was achieved. That was done at the outpouring at Pentecost, the 120 up in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit fell upon them there with the ministries and the apostles and the saints. The chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself, was making his rock, him being the rock, the cornerstone, now making it visible, seen. That was a clear, visible manifestation of the body of Christ now being physically seen in that upper room. And God has moved and built upon that. As it says, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he's building this. As he's seated now at the right hand of the Father in authority, he's building his church, his ecclesia, which means called out ones, set apart. He's building it. And how's he doing it? Well, we know that through Ephesians 4, through the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. He's maturing, perfecting it, each of you, for your function, your ministry, your calling as overcomers, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Did you know that this FGA and other assemblies is to be a holy temple? And what is a temple for? For God to dwell in. And that's why we worship him in spirit and in truth. It is a holy temple. It is a holy gathering where Christ comes and he meets with his brethren, his saints. That's why he says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. He's with us. We don't have to see him. He can visibly manifest himself to us. But we don't need to. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And here it is, verse 22, it is a work in progress. And he's still working that until he comes for the overcomers and the saints. So he's working that dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is where God dwells. And we should not be ashamed of that. We should be jealous over that. That should be something that we are proud of. This is where God dwells. Because this is where my life is changed. My life is touched. My life is different every time we meet together. That should be an experience. And if a church is not experiencing that, then it has to stop and find out where it's going wrong. So there is a second thing then to consider, being grounded and rooted in faith. A grounded and rooted faith requires Christ's body. And this is the least understood. This seems to be a huge blockage to many Christians understanding the true body of Christ, because our faith to be grounded and rooted needs the body of Christ. This is where he changes us and touches us and delivers us for that very purpose. It's all part of it. You can't miss out one part. There are so many Christians today who will say, oh, I walk my walk with God. I walk with him. And I'll go to that church or this church if I feel it's right. I'm sorry, but that ain't scriptural. You aren't going to grow with that attitude. And that is the difference. And this is why it's very difficult to try and get this one over to a lot of believers. Particularly those who have been damaged by ministry or by eldership or whatever it is. They build a barrier and that they're not going to trust anything or anyone anymore. I'm only going to trust the Lord. And that's a big one. And the enemy's very good at doing that. But I remember the Lord showed me years and years and years back when I inquired about him on this. Lord, how do I as a pastor get over that one? I'm meeting so many damaged Christians and everything. And I will share this again for those who've not heard this. He gave me a most wonderful vision of where I saw doves, pure white, beautiful doves. And then they start to flutter. They tried to use their wings and they were just managing to get off their feet, fluttering. And then they'd come back down on the ground again and would try again and back down on the ground. I said, Lord, these doves are not flying. And he said, look closer. And as I looked closer, one of the wings was broken. And he said, I've called you to such an hour in which I'm going to heal those wings through your ministry. It was profound, and I've never forgotten that. And that's been so true over the years that, you know, they've come, they're damaged to where I've been able to go and minister and preach the word. Damaged Christians and such little understanding of Christ's body, and the enemy is so active. So cruel. If he can't get to a Christian's salvation, he'll try and rob them of their fellowship where they can grow and mature. But God is on the throne and he's one step ahead. And if your heart hungers for God, then he'll move heaven and earth to get you in those right pastures, under those right ministries. And hearing the right word, trust me. And he does. Because it's a house of encouragement. It's a house of sharing. And that's what it's about. But sadly, there are a lot of Christians who are out on a loose limb. Because they've had these bad experiences. They've been listening to heresy. And compromise. But needn't worry. The Holy Spirit, he's in control. And he'll bring his chosen together in fellowship of like mind and of spirit. Praise God. Well, that takes us to the third and final thing to consider. Remembering we're talking about grounded and rooted in faith. The third thing. We have to remember that sin and the fall of Adam and Eve has hindered our ability to believe. And that's why we're being restored back under apostolic faith. We're being brought back to the acts of faith and to the latter rain in these last days. So it is a time of restoration for the very purpose, because sin has hindered our faith in believing. Did you know that sin has damaged our faith in believing God? And so it's being restored back. And that's why Christ perfected faith in the heavenlies for that very purpose, because faith was damaged, was hindered. And so he's restoring that back to us, that simple childlike faith to believe. And so a rooted and ground faith will move beyond self. It will move beyond circumstances. It will move beyond how I feel. It will move beyond what I see. That is the perfect faith Christ purchased for us at Calvary. Don't ever take anything secondary. It doesn't matter if you're battling. It doesn't matter if you've missed it in faith or you've fallen short of the standard. Don't ever lose sight of the standard of that faith, even if you've not met it. Don't believe the devil's lie. God has shown us that standard, and we keep that standard in our teaching, in our confession, in our preaching. And God, by his mercy and grace, will get me to that place. And that's our faith believing. And that's what it's about. And you see, some have fallen victim to that, you see. Well, I can't overcome. I can't walk this and blah, blah, and whatever it is. Well, no, you can't. You can't. But don't believe the devil's lie, you see. That is the standard of our faith. And faith is our deliverance. It is our deliverance from our dependence of this world and belonging to it and its lies. That's why it's a deliverance. That's why our eyes and ears are being opened more and more. And the more our ears and eyes are open, the more it was a lie I was believing. I was believing lies in the past. How the enemy had duped me and deceived me. But praise God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God is setting me free. Did we not sing it today? It's setting me free, this Holy Ghost power. That's exactly what he's doing. He's setting us free from lies, deceptions, so that our faith can be the standard of Jesus Christ that he purchased for us at Calvary. And that's why we won't take anything secondary. And the enemy will say, well, you look at your life. You're not living it as you should be. Well, maybe, okay. I admit there's still areas I'm not walking as I should be, but I'm not going to change that standard of faith. I'm still going to believe that what he has given me, he will bring me to and I will attain to by his grace and mercy. And that's what it's about. It's by the grace and mercy of God. Something we shared before the meeting, Frankie and I. And something he said to me, he said, you know, as we're getting closer to the Lord, he said, more being exposed, isn't it? And it's like you want to run away. And I said, yes, but greater grace. Yeah. Whatever God exposes in your life, he has given you the grace in which to bear it, to stand, and to get that deliverance and change. There you go. There you go. Because the enemy wants to get us running. I know there are times I've wanted to run. Can't take any more of this. It's just too much to bear. Living this life, living in this world is just too hard. Yes. And God says, my grace is sufficient. Yes. So the nearer you are getting to the Lord, yes, the more is being exposed, but my grace deals with it. This is why we sing about the blood of Christ that covers, that deals with this, that deals with these battles, these bouts of despondency. Am I ever going to overcome in this? Or so on. We will, because we live by the faith of the Son of God. And God did not make a mistake over you or I. And stay with it by his grace and mercy. And this is why, as I bring this to a conclusion, we find that we have this battle going on in the mind. Because that's the only place the enemy can attack. It is in the mind. And he's always getting us to question the faithfulness of God and the grace of God. But we're told, aren't we? We know this well in Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the Holy Spirit has come baptizing you to work on your mind, to transform it. In other words, it means I am changing your mind. I am changing your thinking, your attitudes, your motives. Did you know that our attitudes, our motives, are so often defeat us? And so God has to change that thinking within us as the word of God gets into our hearts, you see. And he says, don't be conformed to this world. I've saved you out of this world. Come out from them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. This is what he does. This is called sanctification. He has separated us unto himself. And then he says, don't be transformed to the lies of the world, to the deception of the world. I'm going to renew your mind. And how's he do it? Through the word of God. This is why I always say all our meetings are healing and deliverance. I know I'm different when I leave from these meetings. I know something has happened, has changed in me that was different. That's what makes the whole walk so supernatural. And he says, I'm doing this for the purpose so that you can discern. He says, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is your discernment. That is you knowing what the word of God is saying. The perfect will of God. Hallelujah. And finally, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22-24. Ephesians 4:22-24, that you put off concerning your former conduct or life, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. He's using that as an analogy. He's not saying here, as many say and preach, I would just go over this again to confirm, that you have two natures. You don't. You have one nature. You're born again. You have become a new creation. But there are some who believe that you have two natures. Well, if you've got two natures, what happens to them when you die? Where do they go? It's ridiculous. He's talking about it's easy to go back to the former life that you were in. This is what he's trying to say. But he's saying if you got that new nature that is in Jesus Christ, that new birth, then you put off. It's like you put off a cloak, you put on a new cloak, or you put on a new garment, something new. This is what it is referring to. So if you indeed heard and have been taught by him the truth in Jesus Christ that you put off concerning the former conduct, the way you used to live, the corrupt way, the deceitful way, the lies, the lusts. You put it off. That is where you have to meet God halfway. That is where you have to pray sometimes about those things, where those things we're battling in or whatever it is. But you'll know if you're a new creation because something within you can't accept it. Something within you can't keep going on like that. You haven't got peace. And thank God you haven't, because that's the new birth. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's the problem. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So what he means here, through the new birth, you're now a new man or new woman. He says, put that on. It's a cloak. Walk in it. What he's done for you. So nothing to do about having two natures. That's schizophrenic. That spiritual schizophrenia. I don't want to have two natures. Amen. I don't know which one to live by. Amen. But you think about it, and yet this stuff is taught. Praise God. Christ has done a complete and finished work. He's not saved spiritual schizophrenics who are not sure what nature they're in. Oh, when you think about it, what we used to believe in the past. No wonder the Spirit of God is setting us free, is he not? Hallelujah. So put off those things that you rely on. Those habitual things. Oh, we're creatures of habit, believe me. Because we feel secure by it. Well, he says, I'm leading you, I'm guiding you now, you know. Now there's some things that we are to be habitual to, if we're going to use that word. I mean, you know, time is time. I'm a stickler for time because the Lord's never late. And I want to be on time for him. And the order, there's nothing wrong with order. Order in the home, an ordered life, all of that's important to live by, and you will find God's behind that. Jesus' life was ordered. So, you know, there is that side to it. It's a balance, isn't it, at the end of the day. It's not where we become bound by something, driven. And that's the difference, you see. And we all know those areas where at times we are being driven. But praise God, the good news is he's come to set us free, has he not? Hallelujah. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty, mighty Lord. Well, hallelujah. Well, we're going to pray now and then we'll have some singing. We're going to pray now for our sister, Grace, who... Oh, she's upstairs, is she? Right. Put the paper here. Yeah, we're going to pray for her because... as you know, she's expecting a baby, and that's good news. Another life, another convert into the kingdom of God. And we're going to pray God's blessing over her and over the child, are we not? And then we'll have a time of praise and worship. Praise his name. Hallelujah. And dear saints, if any of you want prayer at all, always feel free to express, to request, and we will stand with you in prayer because the word says that we pray one for another. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, come over here, sister. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Mighty God. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you said go forth and multiply. And Lord, we thank you for your blessing upon our sister. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, upon Grace, Father, and the Spirit of God that is upon this child. And Lord, we thank you that this child is separated unto you, Father, in and through the mighty name of Jesus. And we confess the blood of Jesus over this child now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Mighty Lord. Praise God. Well, let's come and praise and worship the Lord, shall we not? As someone said to me once, let's have a Holy Ghost breakdown. Hallelujah. Mighty Lord. Thank you, Father, merciful Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for our fellowship, Lord. Father, bless the saints, Lord, through the coming week until we come together again for our fellowship. And Lord, it is good to praise and worship you. And Lord, we also commit our sister Daphne as she faces that journey around the other side of the world. Lord, I pray that you will be with her, give your ministering angels charge. But Lord, I pray above all that, Father, her ministry will continue while she's out there over the months, that you will lead and guide her. You will give her the words, that anointing will be upon her. Give her the boldness, give her the openings, Lord, in which to share as the Spirit leads. And so we commit her into your hands now in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Mighty God. Amen. Well, bless you all. Thank you again for your fellowship and your time. And we look forward to being again together on Tuesday night, 7:45 UK time, 7:45. So until then, the Lord bless you all.
Let him in constancy fall.